The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good Friday morning to you. This is Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a bright and increasingly warm and humid Friday morning. It's Friday, June 23rd today, and we have a great show coming up for you. We're waiting, awaiting the arrival of our guests this morning, so we'll jump in and show you the weather forecast. It looks like we're going to be in a kind of a pattern from what I hear of some increasing humidity and some thunderstorms and, you know, some mid-80s temperatures. That's kind of what it's looking like right now. It looks like that could be an extended forecast. And, you know, we're heading into that 4th of July parade, and there's a lot of outdoor events, people starting to go to Tanglewood and other things like that. So arrives just in time, of course, for all of that great stuff is all the thunderstorms and the humidity. But, you know, that is the weather. So let's take a listen to the National Weather Service forecast now and find out what's in store, at least for the next couple of days.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area today: mostly cloudy, isolated showers this afternoon. Highs around 80. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Lows in the lower 60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers in the morning, then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 70s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it in the weather department. Definitely getting into some summer weather, and that is to be expected here now that we are past the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. Just happened a couple days ago, and you know, we jump right into it, don't we? Okay, so again, we're awaiting the arrival of our guest this morning, and we will be right back as soon as that happens. So again, you're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll be right back with you.
From your eyes.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you, and we're still awaiting the arrival of our guest, but not to fear, we do have some conversation here for you this morning. We actually have PCTV and WTBR's operations manager, Dave Cachet, on hand with us, and also, by the way, the host of Random Draw right here on 89.7. So if you've never seen him on TV, here he is. If you're only listening to him on the radio on Random Draw.
Well, if you're doing that on a Saturday morning, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. Hey, it's a good show.
That's right. I'm the music show. You do your bills to or take your trash out and make your dump run or mow your lawn to on Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
That's right. And with Random Draw, you never know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Never know.
No.
And Dave doesn't know.
No, I don't.
He walks in, pulls the records out, and says, that's interesting.
Yep.
Never heard of that one before.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So, Dave, thanks for filling in for a few moments here. Yeah. And so, obviously, a very busy time for WTBR and for PCTV these couple weeks over. Obviously kind of kicked off with all the activity around Berkshire Community College, which we handled a few weeks ago, the commencement and all the award ceremonies, nurse pinnings, just an amazing flurry of activity there from Berkshire Community College. Always happy to partner with them and make sure that there's a lot of coverage of that. And then we transitioned into the high school graduations, and both of those were outside, by the way. That was a leap of faith, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's also, they've also moved, because when we first started here, they were always the second Sunday in June, and it gave us a little bit more time, and now they're the first Sunday in June, so they're the same weekend as BCC, so we transitioned right from BCC's activities that last week of May, first week of June, right into that first Sunday with PHS and Deconic, but those are always fun events to cover, and being outdoors, it always offers us a different chance to do stuff. It's a little different because you got this year was kind of overcast and cloudy and it threatened rain all day but didn't, so you always had that specter in the back of your mind of what we're going to do if it starts to rain. Because I heard you talk about the forecast earlier for the next few weeks, and I was looking at it yesterday myself, and I'm like, there must be a problem with the app because every day is the same. It says it's got like a 60-70% chance of rain for like the next 2 weeks. I'm like, this can't be right. It must be a broken thing, but no, probably not.
What do they say about 60% chance of rain? 60% of the time, it happens every time.
Every time, pretty much.
Yeah, but you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen that long out. But what that means is there are a couple of big middle school events that happen in Pittsfield, and one of them is the Herberg commencement. They call it a graduation,
moving up
ceremony,
moving up,
and then the Reed Middle School one as well. And so those have changed over the years, and especially because of COVID, I think changed a lot of it. So what does Herberg do now?
Herberg does outdoors as well. It's been like you said, it's because of COVID. I want to say 2021 was the first time back in person, and they used to have it in their gymnasium, and we used to set up the cameras in the gym, and we'd have an overflow crowd in the auditorium for other people to to watch the event. But they decided, they bought some tents and chairs and stuff, and so they did the last couple of years especially, they've got the Art About stage they bring in, and so they do their whole thing outside, rain or shine, because they have tents for the students. So they don't have tents for the crowd or tents for us, but they have tents
on your own.
Own. It's the Woodstock treatment of the parents and the guests of the students. But theirs will be both Reed and Herberg have their moving up ceremonies on Tuesday morning. Reed is at 8:30. Herberg is at 9 in the morning. And we do go live with those, so if you have a student or a friend or something like that who is moving up from one of those schools, Herberg will be live on Pittsfield ETV and PCTV Select 1 beginning at 9 a.m., and Reed Middle School's ceremony at 8:30 will be live on CityLink. It's kind of a cross promotion there just because we need the channel space, and it'll also be live on PCTV Select 2 beginning at 8:30 on Tuesday morning.
It just so happens, right, that you have two big live events, things that people really want to see, and they're happening pretty much at the same time, one, a half hour before the other one.
Yeah.
And that's a very high in-demand time, right, where if you didn't have two different channels to put them on, if you didn't have two different live streams, which is actually a fairly new thing for us, we've only sort of graduated up to the second live stream in the last year, and people, I think, more and more expect that and demand it when we're going to cover something big like that, where hundreds of people and all of their families are interested in. You can only have so many people sometimes at some of these events. There are people from outside the area looking to watch an event live. I think it means a lot to people.
And you bring up a good point. Like Reed still does theirs in their auditorium, mm-hmm. but as you know, there's only a certain number of seats,
right?
And some of those are taken up by, you know, staff members and stuff like that. So you can only probably bring 2 to 3 people per student,
right,
into that main room.
Because usually about, what, 200 kids graduate from,
give or take,
from Reed?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. So, I mean, the auditorium isn't much more than 500 seats probably. Yeah. I don't know that for certain.
So do the math. You got about two and a half.
Two and a half people, you know, and that half person always makes it tough. And then they have an overflow in other rooms around the school, you know, library, places like that. So they tend to use our feed for those overflow crowds, which allows – you know, students to bring the grandma and grandpa to at least watch and then take the pictures afterwards and stuff. I think you bring up a good point with our 2 live streams is that we've reached that point of covering a lot of events. Mm-hmm. And I think you said it best when it's sort of expected at this point. Like, right. If you're already there, and even we think the same way, if we're already here doing the work, it isn't that much more work to go live from a lot of these places. So why not,
yep.
you know, and give the opportunity for people to see it as it's happening. Yeah. We've been doing that with meetings for years.
Right. And technology has allowed us to do that in more places. I think that's the key there, right?
Yes.
Is that for years we really had to be tethered to or attached to a particular place, a building that had a live feed. And if we weren't nearby there or within shouting distance of there, we could not go live. We would just have to record it and play it back as soon as possible. And now technology and, you know, everything from wireless to cell phone technology has allowed video to, you know, traverse the wires and get back here so that we can transmit it out. And that's just a huge breakthrough.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Not only were we tethered to a building sometimes, we were tethered to a room in a building. Mm-hmm. And if we couldn't get to the innermost room of a school through some other connection point, we couldn't go. You could be at Herberg, let's say, and you may not still be able to go live because you can't get a signal from, you know, the cafeteria or from the, you know, from the auditorium easily without days of prep work or possibly running hundreds of feet of cable and that sort of thing. So technology has certainly gotten better. And, you know, and that's only allowed us to expand upon all of our coverage we do for not just the schools and BCC and stuff, but for anything that pops up, press conferences, sporting events. Mm-hmm. That's been a big thing where we can confidently say we're going to be someplace and we can probably go live from there.
Right.
So we've done in the past, you know, even though sports season is over for high school sports for the summer, we've looking back and looking forward to just a couple months from now, we're starting football up in September. You know, we've had games from BCC, Wakona. We've done games from Monument and Drury and, you know, the Renfrew Field in the middle of Adams. We've gone live for, you know, on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And it's only helped not just us, but, you know, the people who want to see those events out there. And they become very popular and very critical for the community to see these things a lot of times.
So there's a couple of other really big things coming up. One of them we can't quite talk about just yet because I don't think it's fully been released.
Right.
It's probably the worst kept secret in Pittsfield, but there's going to be a very big sporting event happening
in
Pittsfield, multi-day event in July, and we'll defer to the folks who are going to make the announcement on that. But PCTV will be involved, and we're very excited about that. And that's another live sporting event that's going to impact a lot of people, a lot of families, in and outside of Pittsfield. So kind of fun thing there. So stay tuned, I guess, is what we're saying on that one.
Yep.
You know, the other thing that happens, this is the second year now that WTBR has broadcasted all of the Pittsfield Suns games, the home and the away games, in cooperation with the Pittsfield Suns. And, you know, what a huge thing for Suns fans and what a great thing for the team and for Pittsfield.
Yeah, I was just listening yesterday. Yesterday we had a doubleheader in Worcester. Mm-hmm. So, again, if you had told me a few years ago, you know, even after we got WTBR, hey, we're going to be doing, you know, 60, 70 baseball games a year live, you know, almost on a daily occurrence.
Right.
Pretty much every day but Mondays is the day off the Suns players get. You know, that would have blown my mind that we can do that. And, you know, not only that, but we have a dedicated announcer at each game. To your point, you know, we have, you know, Billy Madewell at home and Zach Bianco on the away team, and then they get together and do the home games together sometimes.
Right.
And it's just been incredible to be able to turn the radio on at night on WTBR, and pretty much you're going to hear a Suns game.
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, beginning around 6:30-ish or so most nights. Yesterday we went live starting at 4 o'clock, for God's sake.
Double header.
So we were live from 4 o'clock till whenever the final game. I listened to the end of the first game, the last couple innings there, and you know, the Suns didn't come out prevail in the first game, but that's okay. It's just good to listen to baseball sometime on a nice summer night and listen. You know, it's nice to listen to a hometown team, and you know, especially when you hear, you know, historic Wacona Park going live from there. It's been incredible, you know. And again, I think that points to the greater aspect of PCTV and WTBR's operation, where that's such a, it's almost like an automatic thing now. It happens every day. You almost forget about it. Oh, of course there's a Suns game live tonight. Where in the past, that would have been a really big deal. Now it's just, oh, it's Tuesday. We have a Suns game that's going live. That's not a big deal. You know. So,
although there are still some technical challenges in places. You know, whenever you're traveling 3 or 4 hours away from Pittsfield, you know, you arrive at a venue, Zach does, and he's been a trooper. You know, it's been a lot of work for him to set up all the gear it takes to broadcast a remote game. You know, you're going to be there for 3.5 hours sometimes for a baseball game, and in addition to the amount of time it takes you to set up and break down. But then there's also the challenge of, you know, connections, communication. And not every venue, you know, just imagine Wacona Park in its current condition right now. If you were a visiting announcer coming in, you know, where would you think that you'd be going? And so we, you know, we run into some of those issues also, and Zach does a great job, but there are times when we're we're sweating bullets here a little bit trying to figure out whether we're going to get a feed from some of these far-flung places, right?
I mean, that's without a doubt, you know, it's thrilling in one sense and absolutely terrifying in the other, because it's thrilling to be able to say, hey, we are going live from Worcester. We're on the campus of Holy Cross University kind of thing. We're going live. Like, that's awesome. The, you know, the terrifying part is the, now where's the connection point in the stadium? Do we have a connection point? Is there an Ethernet port that we can use? You know, who do we have to contact to find out? And,
and we're kind of relying on you know, hospitality of all these different places. You walk in with a suitcase full of gear, you know, where do I plug in? We'll get right back to you on that.
And most times the teams, the last thing on their mind is you know, a way team broadcast of a radio station that needs an internet, you know, access. So you know, and I think it also shows you though that, again, I think we've only technically had one game in the 2 years we've done this where we couldn't go live from a place. You know, so I think, you know, and that just happens sometimes, you know, technical difficulties kind of a thing. So that's, you know, overall, that's not too bad of a percentage, I like to think of, in the vast scheme of things. Now, have we gone live with a cell phone, you know, for announcing? Yes, you know, that it's not the best case scenario, but
it works.
You heard the game.
You know, I think, honestly, it was done that way for a very long time, right?
You know,
telephones were used to call basketball games, baseball games. Local radio stations have been using that for a long time. Obviously, the internet makes things a little easier, a little higher quality, you know, as long as everything works. And
that's the key.
So, you know, I hope people are enjoying the Pittsfield Suns games broadcast on WTBR-FM. Again, those are pretty much every night. And on Saturdays and Sundays as well. Really, the only regular day they take off is Mondays, and there's a couple exceptions to that. But for the most part, every other night. And, you know, tip of the hat also to our regular WTBR programmers, the folks that produce all the great shows that you hear here in between the rock and roll music that you may also love. Those folks were very flexible, again, for a second year. Especially the people who had programs that were right in the middle of when those games are normally scheduled. We worked with them and rescheduled their programs to different times. And actually, I just ran into the amazing Tricia last night before she was recording her show for Saturday. And normally she would have been live on Thursday nights. And that's, I think, the time that people are, have gotten used to listening to her show, which is a very fun, bouncy, happy show.
It is.
I got to say, I've listened to the entire show a couple times. It's just a, it's a real
it's a fun show
to listen to. So, but now, I think maybe now she's gaining some new listeners on Saturday afternoon. You know, where maybe she hadn't had that before. And then obviously when the Sun season is over at the early part of August, all of those shows will return to their normal slots.
You know, and I, and you bring up a good point, because, you know, as unfortunate it is, the producers here see TBR as a whole entity, not just their own programming, which has been amazing to work with the producers. You know, there is that mentality of, well, my show's on, you know, it's Saturday night, you know, and it should, that's the way it should be. And instead, as soon as you say, hey, we have opportunity to broadcast songs, oh, great, okay, where does my show need to go now? Mm-hmm. You know, they're volunteering to move the show before I even mention that we're going to have to move your show. And even the, you know, there's only like four shows that were affected totally for the entire summer. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Make Me Happy Radio moved from Thursday to Saturday. Berkshire Jazz moved from Saturday nights at 8 to Saturday mornings at 10.
Right.
You know, there's been a few shows like that.
Wounded Radio.
Wounded Radio on Friday nights from 8 to 10, moved to Mondays 8 to 10. Yep. The Throwback Radio moved from Fridays at 6 to Fridays at noontime.
Yep, that's so kind of a fun
I was going to say, if you have a chance of, you know, if you got nothing better to do during lunchtime and you want to turn the radio on and have a good time, it's a two-hour, like, mega mix of 80s, 90s, 2000s, R&B, and hip-hop, and it's just an amazing show.
Tony Jackson from West Side Legends does a great job with that. And, you know, honestly, there might even be more people listening to the Friday noontime show than the normal slot that he has, you know, Fridays at 6. So good for Tony.
Yeah. And you know, even the other shows that aren't you wouldn't think would be affected, some of them have been. Like, you know, even Mike Pezzo, who does his, you know, Mike's Amazing Music, you know, at noontime on Thursdays. There's been morning games for the Pittsfield Suns. I don't know how they do that, but, you know, I don't know how they play a night game, then get up and play a 10:30 in the morning game.
And sometimes it's a 10:30 in the morning game 4 hours away.
Exactly, yeah. After a home game the night before, you know, you're going, okay, how they're going to, they got to go to Bristol or whatever, but, you know, for, so we've had a few times where we've had to tell producers, you know, hey, sorry, your 10 a.m. show can't happen because there's a game going on that starts, you know, so, so if anyone's listening and interested in the Suns, we always tell just go to the Pittsfield Suns schedule, and basically our coverage always starts about 10 minutes before the game time. So if it says first pitch is 6:30, 6:20 our game coverage starts with a little pre-show from either the home or both home and away games. They're all there on the radio every day. Every time there's a game, like I said, just look at the schedule and pop on it, you know, pop on over to the radio station. We also have the live stream, of course,
right?
So if you're not near your physical radio in your car or home, just go to WTBRFM.com, hit the listen button, and you can listen to all that. You know, and I always like to plug, you know, for all the producers that put in all the hard work. If you miss the show and you really want to hear the Berkshire Jazz or that Throwback Radio show or Make Me Happy, there's podcasts of every show that gets broadcast.
Yeah. And if you've never tried using a podcast, this would be a great time to do it. You go to WTBRFM.com and click on under shows, podcasting, or podcasts.
Podcasts.
And then you can easily click and subscribe to any of those shows. Yep. And every time there's a new episode that's published, it pops up there on your phone or any other device that you got. And suddenly, you know, you can just keep listening on a weekly basis. And that's another thing too, you know, there's a lot of dedication to these producers putting these programs together. In a lot of cases, it's every single week that they're creating programming. So, you know, hats off to them. They're volunteers. It's a community radio station. They're doing it because they enjoy it. They're doing it because they think you enjoy it as a listener. And you know, that's one of the reasons why we're here. And so another good reason to support WTBRFM.com.
Yeah, and I think to further that point, it's even more impressive to think about just the whole breadth and scope of what we offer here. Because to your point, it's community radio. So a particular show may not be your cup of tea, but it is for somebody.
Yep.
And that producer puts just as much work and effort into their show. And, you know, again, am I the biggest jazz fan? No, but we have dedicated producers here who put on great jazz programming every week and, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, and again, we have heavy metal, we have Irish music, we have polka music, we have country music, we got electronic dance music, we got everything, you know, going on with that. So it's there's something for everybody. If you have something to listen to, you can, by all means, tune in the radio and find that schedule or find that program for you.
Right.
And, I always tell people, if you want to, you know, if you want to make your own show, by all means, I always tell people, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I do an hour a week, and it takes me a little bit of time to prep and a little time to produce and that sort of thing, but if I can do it, you can do it. So I always put the plug out there that, you know, by all means, if you want to do your own program, right on the website.
Right. So that's a great promo for WTBR FM, and we're certainly glad to have more and more producers representing the community. That is the way to do it. Go right to the website, WTBRFM.com, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take that quick top of the hour break that we always do. When we come back, we have a special guest coming up, so we'll be right back after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
It's a whole new way of life.
Well, let's hear it.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Deposit a portion of your everyday paycheck directly into your savings account. Set it and forget it, and watch your money grow.
When shopping, grab a basket instead of a cart to avoid impulse buys. Or even better, write a shopping list and stick to it.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from County Ambulance, providing quality, professional, efficient medical care and medical transportation services to the citizens of Berkshire County. Online at countyamb.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning. Friday, June 23rd is the date, and a nice bright sunny day out there. We have our guest here, happy to have him in the studio, Mr. A.J. Enchel. And A.J. is the president and executive director of the Berkshire Black Economic Council. Good morning, A.J. How are you?
I'm great. Morning, Sean.
Great. Thank you for being here today. And I've been really wanting to have you on the show for a long time to talk about the work that your organization does. So, and I know you've spoken with our main host of Morning Drive, Bill Sturgeon, who I know you've had a couple of great conversations there as well. But you know, we're live and local here in the studio, so we've got to get that going. So first of all, tell us about yourself, what you've done, how you grew up, what you have done to get to the point where you are now.
Well, proudly born and raised in Pittsfield. I'm the eldest of four. My family is a family of entrepreneurs. We started Elegant Stitches. That's an embroidery and screen printing business here in Pittsfield. And my brother and dad currently work there now. In terms of how I got to where I am today, it seems a little surreal to even be asked the question, but nevertheless, it's all about the opportunities and the experiences you have. So for me, it was going to Tufts. It was the internships I had there, working at an immigration law firm, to then work as an intern for Congresswoman Catherine Clark, which opened up doors for me to be able to work with our state senator, Adam Hines.
Right.
And that
you did that for quite a while.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I learned so much in that role. And that prepared me for the next thing, which was the formation of the Berkshire Black Economic Council, which is a new 501c3 that we transitioned quickly from a volunteer-based organization to a fully staffed nonprofit team that was in part funded, large part funded by the city of Pittsfield, but also Mass Growth Capital Corporation. So proud to be where we're at right now.
Yeah. What did you think you were going to do when you went to Tufts? Was that what you're doing now sort of in the vision, or was it like not even on the radar screen?
Well, I thought I would go straight from Tufts into law school. And there wouldn't be, you know, the something, something, something that happened in between from Tufts to now being the executive director. So I do believe that the education that I gained along the way prepared me to be in this role. But could I have seen this coming? No.
Sometimes it's just the life experiences that and the opportunities that come up, right?
Right.
And so let's talk about opportunities, because that seems to be a central goal of the Berkshire Black Economic Council. Tell us about the sort of the overall goals, what you and the organization are hoping to achieve, and the impacts that you want to create.
Well, we are here to foster local Black entrepreneurs and their businesses. And what we want to do is prepare them with the worksheets and their projections and forecasting, but also the resources and opportunities that exist here for networking or business development so that they can grow and we can attract more Black businesses and their families to Berkshire County. We have a lot of minds and hearts that are in the right place, and yet we're still lacking diversity for Black populations. And so we're hoping that we can act as a conduit to facilitate the bringing and the recruiting and retention of Black businesses.
And so it's about recruiting and retaining, but it's also about growing and fostering Black-owned businesses that are here already, right? And,
correct.
Yeah. And there's some empowerment involved there, right? So what are some of the hardest things about either starting or keeping a business working and prospering?
That's a loaded question, but it's a good one because there's a lot
that's challenging, right?
Right. And there's so many aspects of running a business, and you're, as the entrepreneur, a lot of the Black entrepreneurs that we're working with are sole proprietors, they're mom and pops. It's one, two, maybe three people max working in that business. And so, you know, that entrepreneur is being tasked with wearing multiple hats. And yes, entrepreneurs are very hands-on people, but their capacity is limited. You can do the admin, you can keep track of the bookkeeping, but someone has to stock the inventory, someone has to make the calls for shipping, someone has to do the packaging and labeling, and that's often one person. So how do they compartmentalize their day given all the needs that a business has? It's when people say it's your baby, they really mean it. And I think that's a challenge for entrepreneurs, while also keeping in mind bringing in the patronage that it requires to have a sustainable income. And then management of people and their personalities. And, you know,
that can be very difficult too.
Right. So kudos to anyone who starts a business. But it's not an easy undertaking.
Yeah. And so that leads, I guess, to the next thing, which is something I see a good amount of advertising and publicity around in Pittsfield right now, which is Vibe North Street, which is a storefront grant program, right? So talk about that. How did the idea come about, and what's involved?
Well, we're so proud of this opportunity because it's transformational for the city of Pittsfield. You know, COVID hurt a lot of our businesses in downtown Pittsfield. And so, you know, we sat down as Berkshire BEC, Downtown Pittsfield Inc., but also our colleagues at Mass Development. You know, we said, all right, well, right now we have about 12 vacant storefronts in downtown Pittsfield. How can we reactivate these spaces? And so we sought out funding through Mass Development. We were awarded, and boom, now this program is coming to fruition. And
Mass Development has something called a TDI, right? And that's involved with this. What is that?
That's the Transformative Development Initiative. And so maybe for some Pittsfield residents who have belonged in this community, you can remember the TDI's impact over the Tyler Street area, that economic corridor. Well, now the focus has been North Street again. And so we're looking to fit out as many, up to six or so businesses, so we can make those spaces turnkey for the entrepreneur. So that tenant also then has negotiating leverage with the landlord. And I don't say leverage as if it's the dynamic that it sounds like.
Yeah, not a power dynamic.
No.
Yeah.
It's really a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can level the playing field, and a landlord and a tenant can see, meet each other at an eye level to improve the physical space while also getting a runway for the business, because now that the entrepreneur is bringing this capital injection into the space, the landlord can say, hey, well, maybe I could give you 6 to 8 months rent free and give you a runway to start your business, because those early months are going to be difficult. And in doing so, your business has a better chance at thriving on North Street. And what has been really cool about this program is that while the awards haven't been made just yet, all these new relationships between landlord and tenant have formed. And so not only will the six go in, but I believe that there are a number of other businesses that will move and relocate to downtown Pittsfield as a unintended consequence, but a miraculous benefit.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's a good time for opportunity also. And knowing, you know, that we've just made it our way through the COVID pandemic, at least most of it, but maybe the worst part of it. Right. And so that left some gaps, you know, it left some empty storefronts. It left some places where, you know, I'm sure landlords are looking for thriving businesses, people to come in, eventually pay some rent and keep things moving. Sounds like it's a great equation also for Downtown Pittsfield Inc. And, you know, I know I've had Rebecca Breen here on the show. We've talked about
how critical
it is to build a downtown basically piece by piece, right? And to attract businesses that will bring foot traffic downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so what types of businesses do you think will start to, you know, take advantage of this grant program?
It could be an eatery. It could be a juice and Java. It could be a spa. It could be a physical therapist. It could be a dance studio. You know, it takes a number of diverse business types to make downtown Pittsfield attractive to residents and visitors. So when someone comes to shop in our downtown, they're not just going from A to B. They can actually go from A to B to C to D.
Right.
And if that happens, you know, we have Hot Plate.
It's more of a cluster, right?
It's more of a cluster.
At that point.
Yeah. So now you feel like, all right, well, we have this Hop in downtown. I can bounce around from shop to shop or stroll, and that's what actually creates that vibrancy and that downtown foot traffic that we're actually hoping to attract.
Yeah, because I think people kind of make their list, right, when they've got to go do something. They say, well, I'm going to go to, you know, business A, and while I'm there, right next door to that is business B, and I need something here anyway. So I'm going to do those two things, and I'll maybe get in my car and drive somewhere else, and I'll hit this, and I'll hit that. Hey, we all got things to do. But if you can, you know, build that cluster of businesses that suit a lot of different needs, maybe that is the rebirth of North Street.
Right. It's that idea of the 15-minute city. mm-hmm. where everything that you need is within 15 minutes.
Yeah, and some of it walking distance as well, right? And not that parking and driving to North Street isn't important, because we know it is.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the Berkshires. If you were brought up here in the Berkshires, you know too, you know, there are a lot of times when you need a car. I know I'm going to have Ricardo Morales on next week, and he's going to tell me the opposite of that, because he always does. And that's good too. But, you know, I think the reality for a lot of people is you still need to get places with a vehicle. So, but, you know, if you can land yourself somewhere nearby and you've got three or four places you need to go, that's a great way to do it.
And I'll just say this, as much as transportation, you know, falls on, the transportation solutions fall on our leadership and government, it's also up for nonprofits and private organizations to step up as well.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to do so. So, for example, we just threw our event this past weekend.
And what was that?
That was I Am Afro, a street fair for all the people. We did this in collaboration with the First Congregational Church of North Adams, and it was a smash. We were
awesome.
Yeah, delighted to be able to organize in the way that we did. Hmm. But we also offer transportation.
Okay.
We're a new organization. As opposed to complaining about transportation and or pounding the sand, we just said, all right, we're going to create a schedule ourselves. We're going to propose that schedule to Dufour, who we contracted with, and we're going to share this with them, see if it's a workable plan. If they have edits, we'll accept them. They're the experts, not us. But we laid out that foundation, and we're building up the ridership expectation that when BEC is throwing events in different parts of the community, if it's possible, we will provide transportation.
Hmm.
And that's what we're hoping to encourage other nonprofits and private industries to do the same. Because it's up to us to find homegrown solutions to homegrown issues.
Yeah. For sure. We're speaking with A.J. Enchel. He is the president and executive director of the Berkshire Black Economic Council, and we're here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Let's talk about the particular challenges of black-owned businesses and a little bit about economic justice, because that is a concept that, you know, I think a lot of people have to wrap their heads around, that it isn't always a level playing field, that there are other more difficulties, more challenges that a black family or black-owned business has when it comes to this. And some of what you're talking about here today sounds like it's leveling that playing field, or at least trying to.
Absolutely. And it needs to be done. And, you know, the challenges range from being bankable, right?
Mm.
And having access to credit and good credit, for that matter, and access to loans.
Mm-hmm.
And
which wasn't always the case,
It wasn't always the case. And so, you know, those are obstacles, but we're helping to give entrepreneurs the tools to be able to walk into a bank and say, hey, I need a loan, but this is my game plan for paying it back. This is what it's going to go toward. And the same approach we're taking to entrepreneurs who can't afford a commercial storefront and still have a business that they're running from home or as a pop-up, so that they can have networking opportunities to participate at the Pittsfield Farmers Market or BEC's I Am Afro Street Fair or the Speed Networking Expo that we've hosted annually twice.
And what's that about?
It's a time where we get as many black businesses under one roof to celebrate them and highlight their businesses within the Berkshire business community. So their leadership and their representatives come out and they get to tour around and shop around and connect with the entrepreneurs who are setting up pop-ups. And last year we did it at Bosque. The year before we did it at the Stationery Factory. And it's been a hit. It's been a hit for our businesses. And that exposure and those opportunities have increased local supplier diversity, because there are nonprofits and private sector industries that are being asked, well, we need you to contract with a minority-owned business for this deal to be in compliance. Mm-hmm. And so now, in the past, business owners would say, okay, we can't locate the black businesses, so we can't meet this obligation.
Mm-hmm.
now there isn't that excuse. Right. Now there's actually a one-stop shop where you can go and visit our website, berkshirebec.org, click the directory page, and then see the list of businesses that we're here to support. And now, in the name of supply diversity and economic justice, you can partner with those businesses and be creative about what goods and services you need and meeting entrepreneurs where they're at, given can they produce the volume that you're asking for? Mm. If not, maybe you should be subcontracting with them as opposed to bringing them out as the primary contractor. You know, there are a number of opportunities, and if businesses are stuck and they can't find the way to do it, we're here to help.
Hmm. And, you know, you kind of suggested an area that was kind of interesting to me, which is how do you scale up when you suddenly get a big order, something as a small business person, you say, I can't do that. I can't possibly handle that. Is that that moment where there's an opportunity where you say, well, that's the next step. That's where we're going to add employees. We're going to add a storefront. We're going to, you know, get a manufacturing facility, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. What is that moment like for a small business owner?
It's overwhelming and yet obviously exciting because it means there's a chance for you to grow. And any time that there's growth, it doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable.
Right.
Like that's why there's the saying growing pains, right? Mm. It's not comfortable, but we're here to make that process as comfortable as possible. So when it's time and you're ready to scale, well, we're here to provide the technical assistance to help you get there. Mm-hmm. And we have connections with organizations across the state and the SBA to help you get there.
Hmm. So you would like to see not only our local Black-owned businesses grow and expand and maybe find a storefront if that's the right thing for their business, but then also maybe to attract some new businesses to Pittsfield in opportunities like that?
Certainly, certainly. And to open up the channels to e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not all business is done face-to-face.
Right, or with a storefront.
Or with a storefront.
Yeah, and maybe the traditional one.
Yeah, and maybe you don't actually need that.
Yeah.
Maybe all you need is really a plan of attack to get to pop-ups and make those pop-up experiences economical for you.
Mm. Again, we're speaking with A.J. Enchel. He's president and executive director of the Berkshire Black Economic Council. Technical assistance provider. So I need to know more about that. What particular service are you providing to businesses being a technical assistance provider?
Mm-hmm. So great question, because it kind of sounds like, well, what is that? Technical assistance. It's a lot. It's connecting entrepreneurs to opportunities where they can retail their goods, mm-hmm. where they can procure services. It's making sure that we're helping them with their business plan.
Mm-hmm. And make sure they have a business plan,
sure they
right?
Have a
maybe
business plan.
That hasn't been thought out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The graphic design it takes for advertising and marketing, connecting them to, let's say, professional expertise, be it an accountant or a lawyer, so that they can form an entity. You know, these are all the things that entrepreneurs are stuck on.
Yeah.
And they need assistance with that. And
they're not all taught in school either, right?
No,
I mean,
no.
you're not taught how to start a business and all the things that are involved with it. You're taught math and social studies and science, and those are all great things, and you can get that in college too. But, you know, unless you're going to be an MBA, and maybe not even then, you know, you get through that and you're like, well, I still haven't run something. When you actually get in and jump in and have to run it, that's when you know, uh-oh, I've got to know all this stuff.
Yep. And then all of a sudden you see this grant opportunity that you're like, whoa, this is for me. I need to go for this. I can't miss this.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck. Well, I don't know how to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you reach out to us and we can contact the grantor and make an inquiry on your behalf.
Yep.
So you don't get stuck on that question and say, I'll get to it later. And then that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just call us. We'll expedite the inquiry and then get back to you so you can keep pushing along.
because there are other things to do when you're still trying to,
you're wearing those multiple hats.
Yeah.
So you still got to run your business. You can't just sit on this one question that you don't know the answer to and waste your time.
Yeah. So technical assistance, that's what we're talking about there. Absolutely. And is any of that also financial, or are you sort of guiding people to the right ways? You talked about being banked, and that's mm-hmm. how important that is, and making sure that you have access to credit and access to loans and things that you need, you know, just business banking accounts and transactional things, credit cards, whatever it takes, right? Those are all very important to businesses.
Absolutely. And fortunately enough, we've already had, you know, these pre-established relationships with banks and there that I name a few, but Greylock Federal Credit Union, Berkshire Bank, Lee Bank, you know, we have relationships with a lot of our local banks and lenders. So when you have these questions, feel free to reach out to us because we can act as that conduit to help you get an answer.
Yeah. It's a great resource. Make sure that, it's available here in the community, and I don't know how many communities have thought this kind of stuff out and that are as progressively active as the Berkshire Black Economic Council has been, but you're a fairly new organization, just sort of finding ways to make those things work, right, in the community. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a couple of personal things. Sure. As I looked on the website briefly, you were on the transition committee for Governor Healey coming mm-hmm. from the Baker administration to the Healey administration. And what was your role with the transition committee?
So I was the chair for the Jobs and Flourishing Economies Committee. Hmm. And that was a remarkable experience to be surrounded with the other chairs and to be a part of the committee to hear about the economic development challenges and also opportunities that exist within the Commonwealth, and then to figure out, okay, well, how do we create this 100-day transition to enable Governor Maura Healey and Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll the roadmap to get where they're going?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a successful launch, and you know, you're taking in these ideas, you're organizing these thoughts in a comprehensive way, and in the hopes that we make the Commonwealth a better place. Mm-hmm. And so,
and bringing in thoughts from all over the Commonwealth, from other people, like-minded people, right, thinking along the same lines and trying to provide some guidance to the governor during that transition. Very short period of time, 100 days, not a long time.
No, and it was a sprint. Yeah, I'm in my mind saying, all right, well, it's getting towards the holidays. We're going to slow things down. And I get this call and I'm like, okay, so about that whole thing where I said I'm going to slow it down, yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's just the way it goes, but it's an opportunity, right?
Oh, so blessing.
You answer the call and you go for it. So that sounds fascinating. And again, just a great experience to be able to be in that room and know that your, you know, thoughts are influencing, you know, a future governor. And of course, you're no stranger to the inner workings of state government, having worked with Senator Hines for so long. And so I'm sure you kind of, you know, fit right in there, had no problem. And then you were appointed to the Advisory Committee on Black Empowerment. And is that, how's that going, and what's that about?
Oh, I enjoy the meetings. We're sitting down as leaders from across the state to find new ways to improve Black empowerment. And so for the past few months now, we've been meeting with all of the secretariats within state government to talk about economic development, to talk about housing, to talk about healthcare, and to be able to inform the secretariats, not as people of color, not as minorities, but specifically how to improve the quality of life for Black people, you know, and address various social determinants to health or economical outcomes, and to also poke and prod and ask the questions in a way that isn't meant to just make the secretariat feel, you know, comfortable in the space, but to really say, like, hey, this is a concern.
Yeah, here's what needs to be done.
Here's what needs to be done. What do you have in mind mm-hmm. on this subject? What have you been doing already to move the needle on this various data point? And let's go a little deeper and see what we can really do to unravel what seems to be mystique, but mm-hmm. we know what the issues are. Let's not study it. Let's get to the real solutions.
Some action.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. AJ Enchel is my guest here this morning, and we're quickly running out of time, but sounds awesome. And I know we're going to have you back and talk more about what's going on, especially with the Vibe North Street. If people want to get in touch with you about the grants that are available, $7,500 to $25,000 grants still available, right? So how do they get in touch with you?
So you go to our website. It's berkshirebec.org. On our opportunities page, it'll be right there. But even if you just type in the website, we have a pop-up. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be the first thing you see.
All the information you need right there. And don't hesitate, right? Apply. Get it in now. This is the time.
This opportunity is only as great as its applications.
Yeah. So this is the time to do it. AJ Enchel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. And we'll have you back for sure.
Thank you, Sean.
Everybody have a great weekend out there. Enjoy the heat and humidity if you can. And we'll see you again next week. Take care.